Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. This season, we have been talking about love, and I will be talking about expression of love through worship. Okay, and the topic of my sermon this morning is, who is the object of your worship? Who is the object of your worship? We had a wonderful worship this morning, didn't we? We just didn't want to stop worshiping, stop singing. Okay, I'm reading from John chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. It says, now this passage is about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking for such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that is living and active. It is powerful. Your word gives life. Your word refreshes us, strengthens us, and revives us. We pray that you'll speak to us. Fill us, Lord. And I pray that you'll anoint me as I preach this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so 10 times in this passage, the word worship is mentioned. You know, 10 times. That means worship is so important. What is worship? According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Wayne Grudem says, worship is the activity of glorifying God in his presence with our voices and hearts. All aspects of our lives are supposed to glorify God. So this definition specifies that worship is something we do, especially when we come into God's presence. When we are conscious of his adoration of him in our hearts, and when we praise him with our voices and speak about him so others may hear. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo, which means to show respect, fall or prostrate before. Literally, it means to kiss towards someone, to throw a kiss in token of respect, to kiss the hand of a superior. Bringing pleasure to God is called worship. Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship to God. Lifestyle. Worship should be your lifestyle, not part of your life. Worship is not just for church services. We are told to worship him continually and to praise him from sunrise to sunset. In the Bible, people praised God at work, in battlefield, in jail, and even in bed. Praise should be the first activity when you open your eyes in the morning, and it should be the last when you close your eyes. Worship is not just for the joyous times or when you need God, but at all times, in the highs and lows, the joy and the storms. We continually worship God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, the anthropologists have noted that worship is universal urge, hardwired by God into the very fiber of our being, an inbuilt need to connect with God. If we fail to worship God, we always find a substitute, even if it ends up being ourselves. If we fail to worship God, we always find a substitute, even if it ends up being ourselves. And Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 25 is an example of that. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." If anyone fails to acknowledge, praise, or worship God, their minds become futile and darkened and end up worshiping something else other than God, which is a dangerous place to be in. If anyone fails to acknowledge, praise, or give thanks to God, their minds become futile and darkened and end up worshiping something else other than God, which is a dangerous place to be in. Verse 22 of John chapter 4. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "You Samaritan women worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Do you know who you worship? Who is the object of your worship? In this world, some worship idols created by men. Some worship celebrities, some worship their children or parents, some worship money, job, Satan. Some have a poor understanding and knowledge of God. They think that God is cruel, always gets angry, always looking to give beatings or punish people. Some think he doesn't have control over the universe. He is a distant God. He doesn't care about right and wrong. He doesn't have control of the wind and waves. It would be torturous to live in a world like this. But God is all-knowing. That is omniscient. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. God is present everywhere. He is also present here. He is omnipresent. God knows everything all the time. He never has to look into his filing system to find out the number of grains in the sand or how many hair strands are there on your head. Anybody knows how many hair strands are on your head or on your hand? He knew what Godse was thinking when he killed Mahatma Gandhi. The universe baffles our mind, but no star slipped into existence without his knowledge. He knows names and numbers them all. He brought the universe into existence from nothing. He is eternal, holy, righteous, loving, merciful, compassionate, forgiving. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we want to praise him for who he is and what he has done. The more we know him, the more we will glorify him and appreciate him and sing for joy. Amen. Verse 23 of John chapter 4 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Wow. When Jesus said, "You must worship in spirit," he wasn't referring to the Holy Spirit. but to your spirit. Made in God's image, you are a spirit that resides in a body, and God designed your spirit to communicate with His spirit. Worship is your spirit responding to God's spirit. Worship must be based on truth of the scripture, not our opinions about God. To worship in truth is to worship God as He is truly revealed in the Bible. Why is God so powerful and magnificent? Why is God so powerful and magnificent and all-sufficient, yet looking for worshipers from His creation? Is He obsessed with Himself? John Piper, in his outstanding book, Desiring God, says that we tend to dislike people who crave praise or plaudits, wondering what's wrong with them. He says, we admire people who are secure and composed enough that they don't need to shore up their weaknesses and compensate for their deficiencies by trying to get compliments. So why does God want our praise? God is not weak and has no deficiencies. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. It says, for from Him and through Him are all things. For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Acts chapter 17, verse 25, it says, and He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath to everyone and everything else. Everything that exists owns its existence to Him, and no one can add anything to Him which is not already flowing from Him. Therefore, God's zeal to seek His own glory and to be praised by men cannot be owing to His need and shore up some weaknesses or compensate for some deficiency. Piper argues that because God is unique and so glorious and so wonderful, it is appropriate for Him to draw our attention and seek our praise. When we worship God, He reveals Himself to us. God draws our attention to His glory, splendor, and majesty so that we may know Him, more of Him in a deeper way. Amen? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. When we worship God, God reveals Himself to us. So God draws our attention to His glory, His splendor, majesty, to all that He has done, so that we may know more of Him in a deeper way. For if God should turn away from Himself as a source of infinite joy, He would cease to be God and deny the infinite worth of His glory. What could God give us to enjoy that would prove Him most loving? What could God give us to enjoy that would prove Him most loving? Answer is simple. He gave Himself to us. If He withholds Himself from our contemplation and our companionship, no matter what else He gives, He is not loving. If He withholds Himself from our companionship and our contemplation, no matter what else He gives us, He is not loving. God delights in us. What does God do when we worship Him? The amazing truth of Scripture is that God delights in its creation when we glorify Him. He also takes delight in it. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Worship is therefore a direct expression of our ultimate purpose for living. To glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. Emotions in worship. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He meant worship must be genuine and heartfelt. It should be from the heart. When we worship, God looks past our words into our heart to see the attitude of our heart. Men look at the outward appearance, but God looks into our hearts. Since worship involves delighting in God, it engages our emotions. So you could worship him with deep feelings. He wants your authentic and honest worship. We are told to rejoice before him, clap our hands, shout and sing. And we see this example in King David in 2 Samuel chapter 6. We are told that David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments as he brought the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. Suddenly, God struck a man dead for touching the Ark. He was judged for his presumption. However, having replaced the Ark by the correct God-appointed ark bearers, David did not walk calmly and composed to express his reverence to God. But even after the fearful manifestation of God's holiness, he danced before the Lord with all his might, with great zeal and passion. Some have argued that Old Testament worship was external, with its clapping and singing and dancing and rejoicing, use of instruments. Whereas New Testament worship is internal because it is in spirit and in truth. But God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth and not in temperament and preference. God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth and not in temperament and your preference. In God's glorious kingdom, extroverts will be learned to hush down and bow before him in awe. And those formerly inhibited will be drunk with new wine. One of our values in this church is private worship, public worship, and heart worship, that is giving. Private worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God has called us into fellowship with his Son. Private worship is your personal time with God when nobody is watching you. It's you and God. You will never grow a close relationship with God by just attending church once a week, or even having a quiet time. Relationship with God is built by sharing all your life's experiences with him. Relationship with God is built by sharing all your life's experiences with him. Daily quiet time is important, but he wants to be included throughout your schedule. He wants to be included in every conversation, every activity, in your thoughts, in your problems, in all that you do. Praying without ceasing means conversing with God while shopping, while driving, while working, while playing games, or any other, every other, everyday tasks. Everything you do can be spending time with God if he is invited to be part of it. And you stay aware of his presence. So what does private worship look like? It means conversing with God through your daily activities. It means having daily quiet time. It means having a time of prayer and worship when no one is looking and praising God in your quiet space. It means displaying God through your lifestyle, your mannerisms, and your behavior. It means witnessing and preaching the gospel to others. It means serving your wife, your family, and friends. It means embracing the poor when no one is watching you, what you're doing. It means releasing forgiveness. It means working with honesty and integrity. It means declaring your faith in Jesus and not renouncing it in times of trouble, in times of trials, in times of chaos, in times of mess. It means sticking to biblical morals, values, and what's right, no matter the outcome or circumstance. In short, private worship is simply being obedient to God's word and giving him reverence in all that you do. Amen? Public worship. As a church, we also give importance to public worship, like we did this morning, singing and praising God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God had to pay a huge price for us so that we could come into his presence together. He paid a huge price for us so that we could come into his presence together. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year, like Colin shared today for the breaking of bread. Now, under the new covenant, believers have the amazing privilege of being able to enter directly into the Holy of Holies when they worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. What does public worship look like? Public worship is worshiping as a church. It can mean dancing, clapping, rejoicing, sitting, lying prostrate before God, or bowing in God's presence. It can mean fellowshipping with God's people, having meals together. It can mean honoring and submitting to your elders and leaders in the church. It can mean obeying Jesus' command to get water baptized as an adult. It means giving tithes and offering into his kingdom extravagantly, and you will get an opportunity to participate in the gift day offering the coming week. To give like you've never given before. It means operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like prophecy, gift of tongues, healing. It means serving the church and the community. It means loving, encouraging, and honoring one another. In short, public worship is when the community of people come together to give God glory, honor, and reverence through their words and actions. Worship is not just for worship leaders. It is for everyone, every single one. Father is looking for worshipers. Did you know Satan is also looking for worshipers? 3 weeks back, Nawaz touched on this. Lucifer was the most beautiful and powerful angel. He wanted to be like God and wanted all the glory. God knew his intentions and cast him out. In Revelation chapter 13, we see that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life had to worship Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan approached Jesus and took him to a very high place, to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. If Satan could approach Jesus, don't you think he can approach us? When we are disobedient to God, or do not acknowledge him, or give him reverence, then who are we worshiping? We can never be in a state of not worshiping. We can never be in a state of not worshiping anyone, because we were created for worship. So we can either worship God or Satan. When we are disobedient to God, we choose to put Satan before God and therefore displacing our worship. So my closing question is, who is the object of your worship? And do you know who you're worshiping?